Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's what we call in this building and the radio biz. Smoke 'em if you got a time. It's the holiday book, which means Felger and Maz are off. Not for just this week, but the next. Don't like it? Tough. They'll be back. We all will as a show. But so for right now, you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, moving over to the A-hole chair, filling in alongside Adam Jones. Yes, the sports vulture is alongside all week long. Marshall Hook with us the next few days as well. So not a lot of positivity, especially today. And good, because nothing deserves any positivity in regard to yesterday's Patriots 17-10 loss to the Steelers yesterday.
Don't blame us, by the way. You can blame your little football team. Because if they played a nice game yesterday, I was ready to come in and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong about the Patriots. Yep. I didn't lose the game. I didn't throw a dumb interception. I didn't take 14 penalties on offense. I wasn't the coach who couldn't get the team ready to go. So don't be upset with me and Big Jim and Hook. Be upset with your football team. They're the ones who did that yesterday, not us.
There's a guy out there who keeps tweeting at the Patriots that we should not be allowed to be on the air bashing for 4 hours straight.
He's probably right about that.
Well, the first part, but I would ask him. I would ask any caller. Tell me what the positive thing is that we're not talking about. Tell me what the thing is that, because he says we're not being fair. Okay, so what is that thing that is on the other side of this coin that we're not talking about? Tell me what that is.
I challenge
anyone to tell me what that is.
Enjoy your long MLK Day weekend. That's all. Just enjoy. Have a nice long weekend, though. You don't have to block it out for the AFC Championship game that weekend.
So I said to start the 2 o'clock hour, today is not the day for positivity and delusions of a Super Bowl championship in Atlanta. And any moronic permutations of how the Patriots can still get the number one seed.
Delusions of an AFC championship game at this point.
Oh, didn't you know, though, Hook? Because if the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Patriots all end up 11-5, the Patriots would end up with the number one seed. It can still happen.
Yeah.
You're a moron if you think that's going to happen at this point.
I did the permutations on a cocktail napkin.
This is a day for venom and saltiness, and it's deserved, and it's the only way I know how to handle a loss like that. Two awful week-ruining losses like that, Miami and Pittsburgh. But join the show as soon as someone drops off, 617-779-0985. I said a lot of terrible stats come from yesterday's game. The one from Zach Cox, again, brutal, because they've been a sieve up front and stopping the run. The Patriots have now allowed 7.64 yards per carry over the last three games. Worst three-game mark in Patriots history, and the fourth worst by any NFL team since the merger.
That's incredible.
I know, right? It's been bad, but
with a defensive genius coaching them.
And who was this stiff that the Steelers started running back yesterday that ended up ripping off like 164
Jalen
yards
Samuels?
From scrimmage? Yeah,
he's
a fifth rounder.
He's an H-back. He's H-back from NC State. If you're a fantasy football dork like I am, I think he's still listed on Yahoo as a tight end.
Oh,
I think
you
could have started him in the fantasy playoffs as a tight end, and he was running wild on the Patriots. He's an H-back. He's not even like a pure running back, not even close.
The worst play for that run defense yesterday.
That would be James Devlin running for 140 yards on the Steelers. That's what that would be like.
The worst play for that run defense yesterday as a whole was after they make that phenomenal special teams play to pin the Steelers at the one. It's like, okay, we got something going here. Stephen Ridley ripped off, a 12-yard run?
Yeah.
Like, immediately gets them out of the end zone.
Ridley.
Stephen Ridley, who, by the way, was looking for revenge on this team for his unceremonious release or whatever the hell it was from 4 years ago, you stupid baby.
I think Curran had a good line about Ridley. I think he said by now he thought he'd be running a vape shop,
right,
is what he thought he'd be doing.
Meanwhile,
he's running all over the Patriots, or at least running them out of the shadow of the goal line.
But that stat, I don't even think is the worst one. This is the one that I found the most jarring, and this is courtesy of Rich Hill of PatsPulpit.com. They do a great job on PatsPulpit.com. So the Patriots finished the season with a 3-5 road record, Jones. It's the third worst road performance in the Bill Belichick era, ahead of only 2000 and 2009, of course, when they go 2-6. But in these games, the Patriots offense produced 10 points three times against the Lions, the Tennessee Titans, and now the Pittsburgh Steelers. 10 points in all three of those games. No other Bill Belichick team has been held to 10 or fewer points more than twice. To restate, Rich writes, even the 2000 Patriots, who finished 5-11 and were wretched, were limited to 10 or fewer points twice. It hasn't happened since Pete Carroll in 1999.
Well, there you go.
A year, by the way, as a fan who had season tickets, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how much more of this I can take. That they scored, again, 10 points in this game yesterday and against the Lions, who now have 9 losses, and against who was it again? That it was the Lions, the Titans, that no-show they had in the beginning of November. I mean, this is what makes it so tough to digest. This offense with the greatest quarterback of all time and a theoretically healthy Rob Gronkowski, but I'm not buying it just because he's off the injury report. And the same with Julian Edelman. There's enough there, Jones. They should be putting up more than 10 points in games like this yesterday.
That team was led, the 2000 team, led by Kevin Faulk rushing. That was your leading rusher. Of course, that was Bledsoe. That was before Brady, who only threw a handful of passes that year. Guys that Bledsoe was throwing to, Troy Brown, nice year. Terry Glenn, nice year. Eric Bjornsson, you remember him?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Rod Rutledge.
The big Swede.
Tony Simmons.
Oh, touchdown Tony Simmons.
Yeah, Tony Simmons dropping touchdowns like you read about out there. That was the 2000. That team wasn't held to 10 points or less as many times as this team has been with Gronk and Edelman and James White and Josh Gordon. That's startling, yeah.
So you want me to be positive today? It ain't happening. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. We'll go to Tom and Drakett. You're next here on Philgren Mass. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing, guys? Saturday, I called up just doing a follow-up question. I called and asked which team was a desperate team to win, Pittsburgh and New England. And I think you both picked Pittsburgh. So moving forward, the tables turn now. New England's in that desperate team mode where they have to win the last two games or face the consequences. I'll just hang up and listen to your comments.
All right, and leaving them on positivity today, Tom, you could, in theory, look at it and say, hey, sometimes desperation does ignite a team, and the hot team in the NFL is sometimes pulled off a bit of a miracle and ended up being the Super Bowl champion, the 2010 Green Bay Packers.
Sure.
Who had a losing record on the road, by the way. I think they finished 3-5 on the road.
They're the only Super Bowl winner to have a losing record on the road, yeah.
Yeah, and then that 09, that wretched 9-7 09 Arizona team, the Cardinals, they had a losing record on the road and still made it to the Super Bowl. The 2012 Baltimore Ravens, you know, they got hot at the right time at the end and then became
The Giants have come from the wild card spot a couple of times to win Super Bowls.
Sure, so it can
happen.
In case
you forgot, Patriots fans.
But I don't know. I don't know how you could look at this team right now and think, yeah, they're gonna be able to win on the road against...
Well,
and Houston, or really any team on the road right now. I don't like their chances.
Well, and at least if one of their final two games was an actual team where you're like, oh, okay, there's still another big game left where things can change. If you get hot against the Bills and Jets...
How much can you really learn
from
that?
Yeah, then you're just the rest of the league. Yeah. That's what everybody does against the Bills and Jets. So how hot can you really get against those two teams?
Let's go to Sam in New York. You're next here on Philgren Mass. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just calling in today about Sonny Michel. I feel like every time he gets the ball or a big run in, you see a flag coming in right afterwards, and then all of a sudden we don't see him for the rest of the quarter, the rest of the half, Rex Burkett's in all the time. So just wondering what your guys' comments were on that. I really like him as a player, so I'd like to see him get the ball a little more.
Thanks, yeah, I do too, Sam. Jones and I actually are in agreement here that was a good pick by the Patriots, especially as you have an aging 41-year-old quarterback. Okay, I had no problem with them picking a running back. And as you know, Jones, you and I were seemingly outliers here.
You took a running back, idiot!
We watch college football, and the reason that teams are drafting running backs in the first round is because they're following the game plan of college football. They're mirroring exactly what they do in terms of offense there. But I know you have a strong feeling about this, and Sony Michel and his usage yesterday, so I want to hear about that.
I mean,
hold on. We'll do that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're up against it. So we'll get that when we come back, because Sony Michel, it did seem like he disappeared after that stupid holding call by Trent Brown, and he should have been used more. Jones has some feelings on this, so we'll get to that and more of your phone calls coming up as we try to digest that hideous loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday in Pittsburgh, 17-10, Steelers over the Pats. Continue to take your calls, and we'll get Jones' thoughts on Sony Michel's day. Next, we're on Philgren Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Philgren Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Philgren Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Philgren Mass.
Welcome back. Philgren Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Mike Tony off this week, so you get yours truly, Jim Murray, alongside the sports culture himself, Adam Jones, in all week. here on the show. So I know you had some strong feelings on how Sony Michel was used or not used yesterday. 13 carries, 59 yards. He was, at times, I don't know, he looked maybe the best he's looked all year. And then it's like they went away from him.
Yeah, it's not only that they went away from him, because if Brady's slinging it, then I get it. Like, I do. I'm pro running back. I like the Sony Michel pick. I think running backs have a place in today's NFL. I would like to see Michel be more involved in the passing game. But, you know, I if Brady's slinging it, I understand. That's not what he was doing yesterday. I think a good chunk of his yardage came on two broken plays, if you will. One where two Steelers smashed into each other, and Edelman got a 25-yard pickup. The other is the 63-yard touchdown to Hogan. You referenced it earlier. ESPN Next Gen Stats, that was the most wide-open receiver in the NFL this year. So outside of Chris Hogan running free by 19 yards of separation, or whatever it was, the Patriots couldn't score a touchdown yesterday, outside of that gift play. So you look at Brady's numbers, you go, oh, well, he threw for 279, and, you know, his rating was okay. He had the touchdown and the one bad pick. The numbers are misleading, because 63 came on one broken play, another 25 came on the other. So it's a long way of saying Brady wasn't good yesterday. Brady needed help yesterday. And I think the offensive line probably needed a little bit of help. They're holding, and look, they hold on Sony Michel plays all the time too, but they're holding, dropping back for passes. Mix it up a little bit. Try to run on Pittsburgh a little bit. You were running on Pittsburgh. Like, it's not just a Michel thing either. I thought Burkhead ran pretty well when he was in the game yesterday. But I wanted more Sony Michel in that game. And it's one thing for me to say, oh, I like the running backs. I want to see him take a running back in the first round. And then they never do it. They actually did it, which means they like Sony Michel. They like a running back at that spot. So I don't get why, if you like him, you wouldn't use him in that game yesterday, especially when Brady's having a poor game.
You know what bugs me about his usage, and if you have a theory on this, please enlighten me, is that they don't use him enough in the passing game. And it really, that it's been that way since the Jacksonville game, because they tried to, and remember, he had a bad drop in that, and it's like, okay, you're no longer in the Brady circle of trust, but he's non-existent. They don't even have him out there on passing downs.
Yeah.
They don't, and he. This is where he was really good at UGA. If you watched any college football, which I know you do, this is one of the reasons I thought that they took him, where they took him, because he was going to be beneficial in the passing game.
So I still think that's something that can be in his future. Obviously, it's not going to happen this year, right? Like, that's not just going to come out of the clouds here in the final couple. Yeah, I think next year it could happen. There's plenty of running backs. And Melvin Gordon's a good example of a guy who didn't catch passes, and now Melvin Gordon's one of the better pass-catching running backs in the NFL. By the way, that's another first-round running back who's tearing it up. So I think that's in his future, but right now, my best theory is Sony Michel missed training camp and Brady missed OTAs. And they never got on the same page. That Jacksonville game, the Detroit game was before that, the Detroit game was after that.
Correct.
Those were two games where I felt like there were, and I just remember talking about this coming in the Monday after the game, where not only was it a drop by Michel, it's almost like he wasn't where Brady wanted him. And so, I don't know, maybe they never got in the rhythm. Maybe James White's just ahead of him on the depth chart, but I agree. That's something that they should, at least in the future, use him more in that situation.
You'd think with 14 games, they would have been able to find at least like the same book together. Like, maybe not the same page, but they'd get kind of close. I don't. It's like they're two.
I mean, yes and no.
Entirely different plays, right?
Yes and no. I mean, the Patriots don't, like, we always make a big state. Oh, the Patriots are a game plan team. The Patriots the reason they do all their fundamentals in the offseason, the reason why OTAs to the Patriots are important, is because they're not a team like the Steelers that do the same thing every week. They're constantly mixing and changing what they do based on the opponent. So they missed that whole foundation in the offseason. Again, Brady skipped OTAs and then Michel was out for training camp in the preseason. Or at least most of the preseason.
I don't think Josh Gordon was here for either of those, and Tom Brady doesn't seem to have a problem throwing the ball to him.
No.
In some games, throw the ball to him 12, 15 times.
True. Yesterday there were issues, but I generally agree with Josh Gordon and your point. But how many times have we seen guys come in with Brady's not on the same page with them, and then they're just dead to Brady?
Well, but that would be one. I think a lot of those guys are the guys who've already been in the NFL for a long time, the veterans who are here on one-year deals who, fine, you know what, it's not going to work out. He's going to be gone at the end of the year. It was a good experiment. This guy's a draft pick, a first-round draft pick. And if Tom Brady is what he says, a guy who's going to play until he's 45 years old, not going to happen. If he were that guy, wouldn't it behoove him? I mean, this
I don't
is
know.
Not
wouldn't
somebody.
It, wouldn't it behoove him to get Aaron Dobson and Taylor Price and Kenbrell Thompson? Wouldn't it behoove him to get all those players involved in the offense?
I just, if Tom Brady's really going to make it to 45, he's not. If he really is, then Sony Michel's a big part of that. Sony Michel's a big part of that. It would behoove him to get on the same page, or at least somewhere close.
Jake in Boston wants to talk about Tom Brady and his mindset. You're next here on Felger and Mez. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. You know where your quarterback is today? He's doing his best buddies thing. So another non-football activity.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. I mean, you can't get on him for doing the best buddies.
Hey, maybe he'll find a left tackle there. Listen. Go back to Tom versus time. And I think the biggest difference between this team and the 2005 team is the 2005 team was exhausted. Bruce, you had a stroke, you had injury. This team is arrogant, stupid, and self-obsessed with their own personal brand. Tom versus time, episode 2 after the Panther game. Brady's calling his dad, says this of his teammates, and I quote, "We are the bleeping Patriots. Let's roll our helmets out there and we're going to win. We'll score, and they'll quit, and then we're going to win. La-di-da." Like, that was in reference to his defense, not mentally showing up for that game. And it was sarcastic, but it was true. And it looks like the quarterback has taken on that mindset. He sure as heck did it during OTAs, and that's not a coaching thing. It's a player's game. That doesn't fall on the coaching staff. And when you have that mentality, you spend time building your brand, like Edelman at his pop-up shop during the bye week, or the McCourties figuring out what cause they're going to wear on their T-shirts before the games like they did in Miami, or James White today trying to sell flip-flops on social media. Like, this is stuff that doesn't happen if your team is mentally preparing for a Super Bowl run. This is stuff that happens if you're mentally preparing to play golf the second weekend of January.
Jake in Boston, a young budding Adam Jones, 2.0 right there.
Was James White hawking flip-flops on social media? I missed that.
I want to know more about these flip-flops.
I've heard from this dude before. In fact, he called the post-game yesterday. I like the cut of his jib because he's angry about just complete nonsense. He was telling Beadle and I to peruse the some of the players' Instagram feeds and say, like, you know, they were at the stadium yesterday. Marcus Cannon was at the stadium,
yep,
and he was getting his Instagram story going a couple hours before the game. Where's the focus? Rah. I was like, oh, this is like a Jonesian take right here. Because I know you were mad about Belichick going to the Timberwolves game the week of the Super Bowl. It's things like this. I don't know. Do you think that this... You look at the 14 penalties yesterday. Overall, do you think that this team, not just yesterday, but overall, has lacked focus or their... You know, that thing that has always given them the edge in the past when it's, you know, during the Brady Belichick era.
Yeah. And I think it does start with Brady and Belichick. Like, all of that trickles down from them. So Bill's taking in NBA games instead of the Super Bowl. And then they lose the Super Bowl. He benches Malcolm Butler. And as far as we know, he's not accountable for it. We have plenty of players saying, yeah, I don't really know what happened there. Right up through Bill not being accountable last week. You know, Tom Brady's doing Tom versus time. Tom Brady's doing his own thing. He's skipping out on OTAs. And I don't think that players automatically look at it and go, oh, well, I'm just like Tom Brady. I should be allowed to act like Tom Brady, or Bill's slacking off, so I'm going to slack off. I don't think it's quite, you know, that out there in the open. But I do think you kind of look at it and it has you ease off the gas pedal a little bit. I think Bill believes in it starting at the top and trickling down through the rest of the team. And he needs to look at himself and Tom Brady, because what they're doing, their lax approach is trickling through the rest of the team.
And yeah, James White launched his Sweet Feet slides 3 days ago.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, there they are. It's in collaboration with, well, now it's broken. Don't ask me to do headlines anymore. Yeah, it's gone now.
Never touch the monitors. Never touch the monitors. They're very sensitive.
I'm just going to be winging it in a couple minutes. But hey, listen, Sweet Feet slides, man. That's what James White's all about right now.
Well, who cares? Who cares that you got smoked by Pittsburgh? Sell some flip-flops. That's a good idea.
Eddie and Gardner, you're next here on Felger and Mez. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good.
This team's front seven has been atrocious. The last two road games, 35-year-old Frank Gore, 12 carries, 97 yards, 7.7 yards a carry. Third string, Jalen Samuels, 17 carries, 142 yards, 7.5 yards per carry. And, oh, by the way, 2 catches for 30 yards on top of that. They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. They're 30th in the league in sacks. Of course you're not going to win road games when third string and 35-year-old running backs are running all over you at 7.7 yards per clip. Like, when is Bill Belichick going to be put on the hot seat? Because this defense has been looking horrible for a long time. When is the last time this defense showed up and actually won a big game for you? Everything is always about Tom Brady.
I mean, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I mean, they didn't stop the run in that game. So I would agree with one thing he said there. I wouldn't put Bill on the hot seat like he's going to lose his job. But, like, Bill should be catching a lot of flack for this.
Yeah, like, with his personnel decisions, especially up front. Again, so you have guys that have been completely useless to this team the last couple of years.
But you don't think they can scheme up a way to stop the run? Like, that to me goes even beyond personnel. That has to be a scheme or just the inability of the coaching staff to get through to them. Because that I believe, and maybe I'm just wrong to believe this, if Bill wants to take away the run, pretty much no matter who you give him, Bill can at least take away the run. They might get carved up through the air, or they might give up big plays, but if he wants to take away the run, something as simple as the running game, I like to think he can do it. And he's not doing it against, as the caller pointed out, the corpse of Frank Gore, Brandon Bolden, and then yesterday, that fifth-round H-back out of NC State, Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, and I just think, okay, yeah, maybe they can coach it up, but I just think that some of these guys aren't very good.
No, I agree with that, too. Their personnel is bad.
Yeah, and so that is on him. So you think you're going to get something out of Adrian Claiborne, and what, did you get whipped up into the fact he had those six hollow sacks against Dallas last year? And that's why, because how many times, and it happened again yesterday, you can get the edge on that guy just about every single time because he gets sucked right into the middle. And it happened in the Chicago game earlier in the year. Remember when Mitch Trubisky ran for about 40 yards left to right before he ran in for the touchdown? What side did he go on, and who looked like a fool on that? Adrian Claiborne. Danny Shelton, a healthy scratch for three straight weeks. You ended up having a terrible draft pick ultimately in Malcolm Brown, who seemingly gets worse by the week. Lawrence Guy's just okay. Adam Butler is just another guy. Like, the personnel decisions in terms of drafting and free agents that they brought in up front have not been that good. So that's where I think the further indictment is on Belichick. Not so much about coaching. It's the guys that he selected to play those positions.
I just think when he says Bill should be on the hot seat, Bill shouldn't be fired or anything like that. But the hot seat in terms of criticism, yes, Bill should not be escaping criticism for the personnel decisions, for the ineffectiveness of the defense, whether that goes back to personnel or scheme. If you want to put Bill on that hot seat, sure, he totally deserves to be on there.
We'll continue to take your calls as there's a lot of venting to get out of your system as it comes to this Patriots team, and there are two straight losses here, which you normally don't see at this time of year. Typically, this is where they're playing their best football, but back-to-back losses in December for the first time since 2002. Another bad team during the Brady Belichick era. So this team, not that good either. So if you want to keep joining the show, 617-779-0985, of course, is the phone number. As soon as someone drops off, we'll get you on. Also, coming up in just about 20 minutes, a nice little gifty $100 gift card to the 99 restaurants. We'll be listening for that here on Felger and Maz. First, though, let's get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines with Marshall Hook.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was it about your team that you didn't blink in turning to Jalen after he didn't get it done much last week? Chris, after he missed the field goal, your defense after they gave up the touchdown? Oh, you know, you showed faith in all three of those elements.
You have to. You know, that's just the nature of this thing. Easy to display faith and talk that camaraderie stuff when things are going well. Sometimes you got to cut your eyelids off when you want to blink, when it gets thick. And we talk openly about that, and we try to display it and live it. You want to embrace those challenges.
Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, after the Steelers beat the Patriots 17-10 yesterday at Heinz Field. I'm not even sure I know what the hell he's talking about there. Sometimes you have to cut your eyelids off to so you can blink. What? I'm a fan of Clockwork Orange. I go, huh? I don't know where the hell you're going with that. It's an odd analogy. Either way, you lost to that guy. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys this week. Hey, credit where it's due. It was a good game plan by Mike Tomlin, and specifically their defensive coordinator, Keith Butler, who I thought stinks and really kept doing the same thing over and over and over and over again against the Patriots. And it's almost like you could set a watch to it, that Rob Gronkowski would be wide open down the seam time and again, and the Patriots go into Pittsburgh, even if it's a hostile environment, and they end up embarrassing that team because they don't switch things up. Sneaky blitzes, a lot of man coverage. Other than that one lapse where they gave up the Chris Hogan touchdown, the Steelers defense, I thought, was pretty good.
Steelers defense was great in that game yesterday. And, yeah, I don't know that I want to give Tomlin too much credit for the game yesterday? Because, again, we were saying earlier, like, if it was Pittsburgh with the 14 penalties, we'd be all over Tomlin. And I don't want to absolve him of anything either. Like, I thought he butchered the end of the first half so badly. And Tony Romo was, like, losing his mind on the broadcast. Tony Romo's like,
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, what is Bill doing? This is genius, burning the clock. And I'm like, of course he's going to burn the clock there, Tony. They're not. I thought what the Patriots were going to do was take a delay a game and then punt. I didn't realize they were going to run the whole punt team onto the field. But burning clock there at the end of the half was obvious. And I thought Tomlin either should have called the timeout to save the 20 seconds or whatever it would have been, or use your two timeouts with 20 seconds to go to work your way down the field. They just took a knee. So I don't think Tomlin had a great day. I think Butler had a pretty good day, for sure. And I still think one of the scarier things about that game yesterday is you lost to Tomlin, and you lost to a Steelers team that was trying to give you the game. Like, I'm not sure that part of it has gotten enough attention. The Patriots made a million mistakes. So did Pittsburgh. Like, both those Roethlisberger picks were so bad. Bad turnovers at bad times. Like, you know, Pittsburgh was trying to give you that game and you couldn't take it. That, to me, is maybe the underreported piece to this loss yesterday. The Patriots, when another team screws up and hands them the game. We were talking about the 2006 playoff game against San Diego. Perfect example. They took it from a team trying to give it to them. Now they I don't even know that they can do that anymore. Another team screws up, and are they good enough to take advantage of it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, the bigger takeaway overall, you know, I didn't want any positivity today. I don't know how positive this really is, but looking at those two teams, Jones, like, they're both such watered down versions of themselves.
Which
I
teams? Think they, Pittsburgh and New England?
Yeah, I think yeah. They both basically kind of stink.
I don't think Pittsburgh's very good either. I mean, yeah. I think they're a playoff team, and they'll find a way to get in the playoffs, and they're plenty talented, yeah. Which I can't say about the Patriots, but they're not. Yeah, they're not a well-coached, good football team, no.
And Roethlisberger's first interception to Daron Harmon, and the second one, credit to him, was a hell of a play, and it was more Stephon Gilmore. But again, the secondary was good yesterday. Mm-hmm. Too much positivity. But that first pick, where it's right to Daron Harmon, like,
he just airmailed it.
That big fat pervert is good for one of those a game now, whether it's home or definitely two away per game if they're on the road. But man, like, those just come out of nowhere every single game with that guy. It's like, who the hell are you even throwing to? And then he's always quick to, you know, throw, name a wide receiver right under the bus, whether yep. It's Joe, whether it's Brown or Smith-Schuster, you know, whoever it happens to be. He's just good for a bad
well,
pick
you see,
a game.
He was yelling at Smith-Schuster on the sideline yeah. After that first pick, and I'm like, yeah. Who are you yelling at?
Right.
Who?
Put
what
a mirror up, Fatso.
What did he do wrong on that play? You overthrew him by 10. You threw it right to Daron Harmon. Who are you yelling at?
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't think that they're very good either. But man, you had them buried. You had them in the right spot. They had lost three straight. It should have been four. They, you know, they pulled out against Jacksonville a month ago, where they're down 16-0 with 3 and change right. Left in the third quarter.
Pittsburgh's missing kicks. That's another thing to add on to there.
That Chris Boswell, they were ready to boo him out of the stadium and throw him in the Allegheny, and rightfully so, because he's terrible. And you had them. You could have, like, helped knock them out of the playoff picture, and you lose to that team, and you only put up 10 points. Wretched. Pat in Providence, you're next here on Felger and Mez. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how you doing, guys? 2 points here. I think you can correlate the Patriots' success this year to when James Wade is heavily involved. I mean, look, when they were riding highest, when James Wade was having monster games. And my second point, that last possession, and the game had so many miscues in it, but I just quickly thought in that last possession, make it a manageable fourth down instead of taking two stupid long-distance shots in the end zone. If they had made it, you know, throw like an 8-yard route, there's still 40 seconds left, make it a 4th and 6 as opposed to a 4th and 15. I just thought that would have been the smarter move.
Yeah, so this is, and it's easy to second guess this now. So if you look at this final play over and over again, and Ben Volen of the Boston Globe had tweeted out from the press box a pretty good shot of that final play. And so James White's wide open. But if you watch it, and I don't think Brady was good at all. You know, it's maybe one of the worst performances in a big game that he's had in quite some time. But White, okay, he looks open, but it looked to me, I've watched it now 1,000 times since last night, and I don't know how much you've watched this thing, but it looks like the ball's already out by the time that James White would be able to catch the ball and then maybe, you know, cut outside and get out of bounds so that they would have another shot at it. It's just, the ball's already out by the time that James White's wide open.
And I think that's pretty much what Brady said. Brady said, you know, he didn't want to throw in back. He wanted to throw to the end zone there. Because if you throw inbounds and you get tackled inbounds, there's no timeouts. You can't spike it on a fourth down. So, like, what are you supposed to do? So, I know a lot of people have complained that White looked wide open on that play. I've seen this debunked a little bit where, yeah, White looks open. Maybe the ball's already out, like you said. There's also a pass rusher, like, right off his left shoulder.
Yeah.
So if Brady's turning to throw to White, he's going to turn right into the pass. Like, how realistic is that? I don't know. So I'm not killing Brady for not checking down to White there, but I don't love the idea, really, ever, of this offense just airing it out and trying to go 15, 20 yards downfield, especially when your quarterback doesn't have the arm strength to throw it to the sideline.
Yeah, my bigger beef with that last play is that Brady bails out of the throw.
100%.
Like, that's the worst thing 100%. About it. You know, I didn't like that it was, you know, four down the field, just streak, and hopefully I can make a play here. And it was forced into Gronk and Edelman like it was time and again on that last possession. But at least stand in there, dude, and take the hit. He bailed out of the throw.
And you think it's because he's hurt?
I do. I don't think he's been right for weeks now. Ever since the stupid play, the Edelman pass to him in Tennessee,
yep,
where he tripped all over himself. It gets bit by the turf monster, or his knee gave a little bit. I don't think he's been right since. He was maybe starting with that game. Because
his knee gave.
Yeah, do you have inside info on this, Jimmy? Jimmy Stewart, executive producer.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Refreshed from the weekend, are you? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? Yeah. We haven't heard from your underground sources in quite some time. What do you know on this? Because you've said this for a while.
Oh, I think he hurt his knee on the double pass. I think that's where it was injured.
Think or believe?
Believe.
Believe.
I mean, he hasn't been right. And typically, this is a guy, even, you know, in the last couple of years, as he's getting up there in age, he'll stand in there and take a hit. These bailouts, that's what, to me, it's like, what am I watching here? With this guy? The greatest to ever do it? No! That's what makes it so difficult to digest, to see that time and again over the last month or so.
Maybe he's dealing with an injury. I know
he is.
You've been big on that. Jimmy believes it, so he probably is. I still wonder even beyond that. Like, is he just done standing in there and taking the hits? You guys played the clip last week. I heard it driving in, and I was like, oh my God. Brady on Friday?
With Jim Gray the prior night, yeah.
Yeah, where he's like, well, you know, I hope we can... No, I thought it was his press conference. Maybe I'm wrong, but the audio where he's like, well, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see out there with this
team. My muscles just absorb the forces disperse the forces as well as they ever have.
No, that was eye-opening, too. No, where he's just like, yeah, you know, this team, I mean, I think we'll maybe take care of business. We'll see. And he kind of repeated himself. It's like, I don't know how much he believes in the team. So if he doesn't believe in the team, why is he going to hang in there on all these throws?
You know, once you know, you can't unknow.
Yeah, he's notorious, you know? Notorious B.I.G. Brady right there. And once you know, then you know. What was the other one?
And my brain is wired for contact.
Yeah, I like the other one where he's play the first one again there, Jimmy, where he sounds like Ralph Wiggum.
You know, my muscles just absorb the forces and disperse the forces as well as they ever have.
Did he choose this lifestyle?
I saw one of the babies, and the baby looked at me. It's like, man, what are you talking about? All right, a long commercial-free segment next. I know I've been somewhat negligent with the phone calls. I promise we'll go right to you, and I'll hook you up, too. We have a $100 gift card to the 99 restaurant coming up on our long commercial-free segment here. It's Felger with Big Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys this week here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys. A reminder, have a $100 99 restaurant gift card for you in this segment, so be listening for that. But right to you we go. Been somewhat neglectful of the phone calls thus far. I know a lot of you want to vent about this Patriots loss, 17-10 to the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Matt and Wareham, you are next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
Listen, I was calling because yesterday during the game, you know, as Pats fans, we all should know football pretty well. And, like, even a win against Pittsburgh yesterday, like, I don't think that says much. Like you were saying earlier, Pittsburgh gave the ball to us however many times to win that game. And the other part of it, too, like, I noticed on the last play of the game when they tried to, you know, win toward the Gronk, just the picture of, like, Cordo Patterson on the outside and, like, a threat. It's just like, that's where they are. Like, you're not beating the Chargers or the Chiefs with Cordo Patterson as an option behind Edelman. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. I think maybe Gordon's in the middle over there or something. But
well, I didn't, and Matt, thanks for the call. I didn't like the fact that he was on the field on that last play. Josh Gordon's got more ups than Cordarrelle Patterson does. It's the reason that they had him on the field at the end of the Chicago game on defense to try to knock it down, which he didn't. But still, in theory, I would think he'd want to be on the play on the field for that play. But as bad as the Steelers have been this year, or underachieving as an underachieving team that they've been, that still would have been a good win if they pulled it out and they beat them.
I think it would have
19-17 or something like that.
I think it would have been their best win, right?
Without question.
Better. I mean, the Bears are good, yeah. And they beat the Bears in Chicago. But I think in Pittsburgh is a better win.
But considering their road woes, no, that still would have been a good win, even if it was ugly.
I agree. I was ready to give it up to them. All they had to, it was right there for the taking yesterday. All they had to do was win that game, which they always do. And they would have got credit for that. That would have been a good win, even if Pittsburgh's giving it to them. They would have got credit for that win. And again, the fact they couldn't capitalize on that is egregious. I wonder why Gordon wasn't out there. Is he winded? Does the coaching staff not like what they've seen out of him? I don't know the answer to that, but it's not good, whatever it is.
Maybe it had something to do with he was fined for being late in the prior week. I heard something like that.
Yeah,
Ron and Swansea, you're next here on Felger and Mass. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Murray. First of all, hey, I think you and Adam are doing a fantastic job.
We really are.
The reason I'm calling, I'm over here and I am wearing my Chargers T-shirt, sweatshirt, and baseball cap. And I had the privilege of going to L.A. and visiting my son, and I got to see them play the 49ers. Now, my problem is this here. The New England or Boston-based media keeps knocking this team down, or they did all season. And the fact is, by looking at what I saw on TV, you may have to play them in the playoffs. If you come in fourth, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Looking at the pairings.
Yeah, oh, Ron, and you won't hear that from me. Myself and Scott Zolak have been bullish on the Chargers for most of the season, and I thought they've had two of the more impressive wins that you'd see in the league this whole year when they went to Pittsburgh on the Sunday night a few weeks back, and then this win on Thursday against Kansas City. In fact, Gasper on Saturday on our show said it was the most impressive win in the NFL this year. Their defense travels. Phillip Rivers is playing at an MVP level. They got a lot of talent on that offense. They look like maybe the toughest.
If you were going to rank the AFC teams,
Chargers
at
this
point. One.
Chargers are number one to me.
Well, the Patriots are what? Four at best.
Because
I put Houston above them, and I know people may snicker at that. But Houston has, I mean, listen, I'm always going to give more credit to a team, and I think the Chargers fit into this as well, that is, you know, the underdog, that nobody expected something from, and then each successive win that they get, and I know Houston's win streak was snapped last week, you know, it builds something there. The Patriots are going in the wrong direction. They're trending down. That is not the momentum you want headed into the postseason. Is I'm going to lose to a couple bad teams and maybe beat Buffalo and the Jets, and then I'm going to go into the... That's not what, to me, makes for a good postseason run. So if I'm ranking the AFC teams, I'm not putting the Patriots any higher than fourth.
See, I still don't trust Houston because of the coach, and I'm
mostly with you on that.
I don't trust San Diego / LA because of the quarterback. Rivers tried to give that game away against Kansas City. Like everything else in that game, their defense, I thought, made Kansas City work the whole night. Even when Kansas City started fast, third down conversions, Mahomes is pulling throws out of his backside. Like,
who's the rookie safety they got from Florida State there?
Derwin James.
I love him.
Stud.
Yeah.
So their defense is legit. Their defense will hit you. Do you see how hard they were hitting Kansas City? Back-to-back plays, Conley and Mahomes at the goal line. I think the Chiefs ultimately punched it in. The Chargers made them work. So I think the Chargers have a lot of talent. I just don't trust Rivers in a big spot. So they'd have to overcome him. But
so where are you putting the Patriots in your rank? Are they the
second
team in the AFC?
What are the Jones power rankings?
Yeah, I want to know. And I don't care about the NFC. I want to know about the AFC.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't trust a lot of the other teams in the AFC. I mean, I'd lump the Patriots in too, but the Chiefs have now lost Hunt and Watkins, and I don't know that Watkins is going to come back. He's had tons of foot injuries in his career.
And now they have big fat Kelvin Benjamin there, who's a stiff.
Yeah, like, and they look vulnerable. I don't trust Rivers. I don't trust O'Brien. So, like, I don't know. I don't know that the Patriots are better than any of those teams. I'd probably have the Patriots below all of them, too. But
I don't want
to. It wouldn't shock me if the Patriots beat any of those teams either. It's just to beat a bunch of them in succession, I don't think the Patriots are capable of
those
that.
Are the a mealy mouth power rankings I've ever heard.
No, it's not. Yeah. I have them below Kansas City and LA and Houston.
Okay.
But a one off against any of those teams, I could see the Patriots beating those teams.
Right.
Yeah, in totality, on a run. No,
still kind of wishy-washy. The Jones MLB power rankings.
Those were more set in stone.
The American
I've been burned by those power rankings. Maybe that's why.
The Red Sox,
Jones, what happened to you?
Yeah, the Red Sox won the World Series, and I still think you have them behind Houston.
Yeah, I think I have Cleveland above them still. I don't trust any of those teams. Do you like any of those teams?
Yeah,
like,
but
you would go to the grave with the Chiefs right now.
No,
Houston
Chargers. I would.
Here's what I'm telling you.
I can't do that.
The difference isn't necessarily those teams. Like those.
It's about the Patriots.
It's about the Patriots.
I understand.
Because I don't trust the Patriots.
So
I mean, look at yesterday's game.
Here's what
yesterday's
I'm confident.
Yesterday's game, every other year, the Patriots walk out there 30-10 winners. They were never in that game yesterday. It was a pathetic showing from beginning to end. And that is exactly the opposite of what the Patriots have been. So when you say you don't trust the Chargers or you don't trust O'Brien or you don't trust Houston, do you trust the Patriots?
No, but here's what I'm confident in. I don't think the Patriots get to the AFC title game. So I'm confident in that. Could the Patriots win a game against one of those other teams on the way? Like, if the Chargers are here wild card weekend, I'll pick the Patriots.
I don't think I would.
I feel confident enough that the Patriots can get a game somewhere in there, or at least I'd give them a chance to get a game. I don't think they can string a couple of wins together against
Melvin
teams.
Gordon.
That's how I put it to
Melvin
you.
Gordon healthy with this run defense? No, I'm taking the Chargers there.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.